You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Ever had a conversation with someone that you've never met before and they dropped the B word? Blessed. Have a blessed day. What do you think I'm going to say? Oh, come on, Christians. Don't think like that. God bless you. God bless you. Or what a blessing. You know, as a Christian, when I hear the word blessed, it's like my spiritual antenna, it like sticks out. And I'm wondering if that person is a Christian. And I often ask them, hey, are you a believer? All right? It's because Christians love using the word blessed. In fact, we would replace the word luck and put it, the word, substitute the word bless. So for example, it's no longer pot luck, it's pot bless. Is that right? That's what we do, right? So if you come to my house and you want to share a meal with me and you bring a plate to share, you ain't saying pot luck, you're saying pot bless. And then sometimes at the end of our messages, we might end with what? God bless, right? Or blessings. And so what does that word actually mean? And I think for most people, right, it associates when life is going well. Like if you go onto social media, Instagram, and you just find the hashtag blessed, you will notice 161 million times it's on Instagram. And it's usually associated with someone having a great time. You know, it's like, you know, you're on a cruise ship and food is great, drinks are free, internet is slow and expensive, but it's okay because it's a great experience. You're in your cabin, you take the photo of the sunset, and you want to share it with the whole world, and you say, I am what? I'm blessed. Is that right? Or you get a job promo, the boss pulls you aside, he tells you you've worked really, really hard, the company loves you, he's going to increase your salary, 20% increase next year, he gives you a new office space overlooking Elizabeth Quay, you hashtag new office, hashtag blessed. Is that right? If you're a uni student and you're struggling, KFC's got half-price wicked wings on Tuesday, you grab a cheap meal, you feel what? Blessed, all right? That's how we tend to think what blessing is all about. But what if I said to you, you can still have a blessed life even if you didn't have all of the above? That a blessed life is not about having everything you ever wanted, but rather about having the presence of God. And that's where we find ourselves in Psalms 84. Because the psalmist reminds us that if you have access to the presence of God, you are blessed. And that's where we are today in our Psalm series. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 84, and I'll give you the structure of the Psalms before I tell you what's going on here. Open up your Bibles to Psalms 84. You'll notice there are three key sections. There are three clear movements. And each of these sections would be divided by the Hebrew word selah, which is the word for to pause or to reflect or to ponder on what was written previously. So for example, in your Bible, you'll notice from verses 1 to 4, that's the first section. And at the end of verse 4, we read this, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. That's a pause. The second section is found in verses 5 to 8. And you notice that at the end of verse 8, you see the word Selah. And at the very start of this section in verse 5, the writer says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And then the last section, the third section, is from verses 9 to 12, which is the end of the Psalms. At the very end of the Psalms, in verse 12, the writer writes this, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. There are three sections to the Psalms. And in each of those sections, we find the word blessed. And that's where we're going today. Blessings found in the presence of the God. And I'll tell you three areas that we are blessed. Here's the first area. Blessed are those who dwell in the presence of God. Secondly, blessed are those who find strength in God. And thirdly, blessed are those who trust in God. That's where we're going today. Let me pray and we'll work the text together. Let me pray. Lord, I just pray now that as I teach your word, would you help me to be clear, to be concise, to be faithful to the text. And Holy Spirit, would you teach us wonderful things that we will leave knowing that to be blessed is just to be in your presence. And so I pray that is a reality that we all would live out to the day you return or the day you take us home. Would you help us right now? Use me right now, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Here's the first point. Blessed are those who dwell in the presence of God. Let me read you the word of God from verses 1 to 4. Psalms 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. The word house here in verse 4 is the word temple. So in the Old Testament, God's presence was found in the temple of Jerusalem. And so dwelling in God's house means dwelling in the presence of God. So up to this point here, verses 1 to 3, the psalmist is saying what? He longs for the presence of God. His entire being yearns. He cries out to be in the presence of God. He would even say that the thought of thinking about the outer courts would make him faint. Because back then, to enter into God's presence, which is the inner part of the temple, you have to pass the outer courts. And here is him saying, just the thought of the outer court will make me lose physical control. I'm so excited to be in your presence, God. I remember many years ago, I met Pastor Timothy Keller in New York City. He's this Presbyterian pastor that I really look up to. We had a conversation, and I shared a New York pizza with Tim Keller. Now, I was speechless because I was in the presence of Keller. I didn't faint. I was close to fainting. I didn't faint, but I was definitely overwhelmed that I couldn't even string a sentence together. I felt so blessed that he would actually chat to me. The psalmist is saying that the thought of being in the presence of God meant that he would even faint. He would lose physical control. He knew that he was so blessed to be able to be in the presence of God. You know, friends, if you are a Christian, listen carefully. This only applies to Christians. If you are a Christian, something wonderful has taken place. Do you know what that is? God dwells in you. God dwells in you. Jesus says these words in John 14, 16, 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That helper there is the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. You will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You see, in the New Testament, right, the Word of God teaches us that God no longer dwells in a temple. God no longer dwells in the four walls of a building, but rather he dwells in his people. That you and I, we are the temple of God, and God dwells in us. The Apostle Paul, he writes these words to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:16. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit, which is God, dwells in you? It's interesting because the word you here, you are God's temple, the word you is in the Greek plural. So he talks about how we, every one of us here, and the word temple here is in the singular. So God's temple is us. Every one of us. That's why I always said that when we come together for worship today, God does something wonderful. When God's people all yearn for his presence and say, we really love you, God, we really want you, God manifests in profound ways. But the verse also says that God is also in the individual believer. So that makes it very unique that you and I, as Christians, we have this faith where we believe that we don't have to find God, but God already lives in us. And that makes the Christian faith so unique. Other faith is like, I've got to find God. I've got to reach God. I've got to do all these things. And then finally, maybe if God is happy with me, he may allow me to be in his presence. In fact, for the people of the Old Testament, they had to find God. They had to go into the temple to be with God. But for those of us today, right, because of what Jesus has done, God's found us and he lives in us. He lives in you and in me. Thomas Schrender is a great New Testament professor that I love reading. He once shared a story that took place when he was a student. He was studying literature, and his lecturer asked the class, the entire class, put up your hands if you believe in God. So Thomas and some of his friends raised their hands. And then the lecturer continues by saying, so you believe that God lives in you? And Thomas and his friends nodded. And then the lecturer made this very final sarcastic comment. Wow, that must mean you have the wonderful presence with God every day. Now, obviously, the lecturer didn't believe a word he said to Thomas and his friends. But I ask you this, brothers and sisters, I ask you, fellow Christians, do you believe that you are God's temple? Do you believe that God lives in you and you have access to his wonderful presence every day? Every day. You see, to be a believer is not just believing that God exists, but also believing that you have the presence of God living in you every day. Every day. And how blessed are we to know that God lives in us and that we get to enjoy his holy presence every day. And here's the thing. God loves you. God really likes you, friends. He really wants you to enjoy his presence. That's the reason why you notice in verse 3. Look in verse 3. Look at it again. He mentions about birds. He says, even the sparrows has found a home, and the swallow a nest for her, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. And I think the reason why the psalmist would mention these insignificant creatures, these little small birds, it's to make the point that if God would welcome these birds to make their nest in his presence, in his altar, how much more would God welcome you and me to enjoy his presence? Like, he loves you. He likes you a lot, and he wants you to know that he lives in you and that you get to enjoy his presence every day, that you are to take time and enjoy him. That we don't have to come here on a Sunday to enjoy God's presence. We get to enjoy his presence every day. Yes, we should come here weekly because something wonderful happened when the body of God corporately comes together. But every day, you are blessed because you get to enjoy his presence. And that's the reason why he ends that section with verse 4 by saying, blessed are those who dwell in your house or in your presence, and they are ever praising you. You know, when you really enjoy the presence of God, you find that your life is a life of praise. You find that everything that happens to you is never a chance, but rather, wow, God did that for me. Praise God. Praise God. You find out that, wow, you know, this happened to me and someone came along and encouraged me. That's not a coincidence. Praise God. Like, those who spend time with God will be those who are praising God even more. That we don't have to reserve our praises for God on a Sunday morning, but we should be praising God every day of the week. I mean, how great is that to be a Christian where we are enjoying God's presence every day, praising God every day, and knowing that we are blessed, that we get to enjoy him. What are you doing about that? Are you setting time to really remember him, to enjoy his presence? And as you do that more and more often, you realize, wow, how blessed am I that I get to enjoy my Creator, my God. And may your life and my life be one of praises throughout the week. Amen? Secondly, blessed are those who find strength in God. Look in verses 5 to 8. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it to a place of springs, the autumn rains also cover with pools. They go from strength to strength until each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Selah. So the psalmist here is referring to a pilgrimage towards Jerusalem for worship. Around three times a year, God's people would stop everything. And depending on where you are, you have to make your way back to Jerusalem to worship God. It's usually the festival of weeks, which is like Pentecost or Passover. They'll go back to worship God. And for some, it's a long trip. It wasn't an easy trip. It was a challenging trip. And to head back, there were like some dangers. That's the reason why you notice in verse 6, he describes that they had to pass through the valley of Baca. You see that? And Baca is Hebrew for weeping, crying, hardship. So there were moments when it was challenging for God's people to go back to Jerusalem. However, if you keep reading verse 6, they would what? They would pass through that valley of weeping and find a place of abundance. You see that? With springs and autumn rain and pools of water. Can you see that? And we are told that they would go through this season of hardship because there's strength upon strength. And finally, in verse 7, look at verse 7, they would arrive to Zion. And Zion is Jerusalem, the presence of God. You notice that? The way to understand this section is found in verse 5. He says in verse 5, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, God." Those who draw strength from God, you are blessed. Because I believe that every Christian, we are not immune to seasons of hardship. There will be valleys of Baca that every one of us will have to go through. We are not Christians who will have a suffering-free life. No, the Bible is very clear. You will pass through your valleys of weeping. But those who draw strength from God, God will get you through and you are blessed. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped." Psalms 46:1, "God is my refuge and strength, my present help in trouble." See, we are not told, listen, to find strength in ourselves, but rather to find strength in our God. And those who can find strength from God, guess what? You're blessed. You're blessed. And I could share with you that this is year 15 of planting Sun Life Church, and this is by far, for me personally, the most challenging season as your pastor. And I kind of chuckle and laugh when people say to me, "Oh, you're a pastor, and you have it all together, and you've been following Jesus for many years, and you're strong, and you're made for this, and you can do it." I kind of feel like saying to them, "Well, you do not know me at all, you know, because I struggle." And I often find in this season that I realize and I remind myself that, yeah, I am weak, and I don't have it all together, and I cannot do this out of my own strength, and I really need God to help me. And maybe for some of you, you can relate with me, that you are in that valley right now, that valley of weeping, that it's such a tough season for you. You've tried everything under the sun, no stone unturned. You're exhausted. You feel weak. You feel vulnerable. You feel like this valley of Baca is getting the better of you. If that is you, I want to say this to you, that God is near and God is offering his strength to help you. And you are blessed when you tap upon his strength. If you decide to do this out of your own strength, your own will, your own wisdom, you won't be blessed. You'll probably be more frustrated. You'll probably be cursed. But if you're willing to say, "God, I need you, and would you help me?" You'll be blessed. Martin Luther once said these words, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Because he knew that his weakness was a reminder to tap into the strength of God. And he knew that when he would draw from God's strength, he would be strong. And in fact, he's actually drawing this from the very words of Jesus. Because Jesus said these words to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" You see, are you feeling tired this day? Are you feeling exhausted? Can I encourage you to stick close to God? Ask Him to help you. Tell Him that you need His strength. Tell Him that you're not going to do this unless He will do this for you. And I believe that God's strength doesn't come by trying harder, but rather by staying closer to God in this season right here. Don't muscle through this season with your own strength. I think it's going to be so, so hard. Of late, I find myself just praying this prayer to God. God, I just need you to do this. I can't do this. I just need you to do this for me. And I tell Him what I need. I just tell Him. I list it out. Because I'm not trying to do it out of my strength. I say, God, you promised me in your word that you would give me strength and that you would bless me if I tap upon your strength. Therefore, I need you to do this. And for some of you, I think you need to hear that. That it's time for you to say, I'm not going to do this out of my own strength. I am going to ask God. God, I need you to do this. I need you to help me. I need your strength. And when you learn to live like that, guess what? You're blessed. You're blessed. Because the Bible says, blessed are those who find their strength in God. Amen? And here's the last thing here. It's that blessed are those who trust in God. Look at verses 9 to 12. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, I'm writing this message here, and I read verse 10. I'm going, wow, that's a great verse. Because we all know this verse, right? I'd rather spend one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. And I'm going, God, I want to preach on this verse. And God says, no, that's for another day. You're going to preach on trusting me. And I'm like, okay, it is what it is. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestow favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whom walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. You know, honestly, we all trust in something. Amen? We all trust in something. The question is where we put our trust. Where do you put your trust? Maybe for some of you here, you're trusting in your investment, your shares, your retirement funds. For others, maybe you place your trust in your success or your status or your achievement, your career. For young people, you usually place your trust in friendship or you place your trust in technology. You know, and sadly, the world says that we should place our trust in ourselves. You hear that a lot these days. Follow your heart. You can do this. You can trust yourself. Don't trust your parents. Don't trust your friends. Don't trust your church. Trust yourself. I think it's so dangerous because the Bible is very clear that if you want to be blessed, you place your trust where? In God. Blessed are those who place their trust in God. And I'll give you a few reasons why you should place your trust in God. Number one is this anxiety is reduced. You know, we live in such an anxious time. Like the fuel prices are crazy. Like I saw someone in our church paid $300 to fill up their car yesterday. $300. Like where is this world going? Like I also read that Gen Z has the highest anxiety level. You are so overwhelmed with your future. You're socially anxious. Like when your parents take a photo of you, you get so anxious because you're worried that they may post that photo of you on social media. Like your life is just so anxious. And then you have the war in the Middle East. What a crazy time. Every second Christian that speaks to me would always ask me this question. Pastor, is it the end times? Is Jesus coming back? Now, for the record, listen carefully. So you have to ask me again. Okay, it is the end times. It's always been the end times. Ever since Jesus left, it's the end times. Is Jesus coming back? Yes, He is. When? I don't know. I'm hoping after the Dockers win their first premiership. I'm really hoping, right? But the reality, we live in an anxious world. We're so anxious, right? And here's the thing. Anxiety comes from the fact that we want to take control. We want to live out life the way we want to see it. We want life to go towards the plan that we hope to see take place. That's why we're anxious. But those who trust in God, the Bible's very clear. Those who trust in God, you're blessed, because you know why? You acknowledge that all the events of this life, they're ultimately in the hands of God, and you release it to God. You release the what ifs to God. You know, what if I don't get this job? You release it to God. What if I can't find a house to live in? You release it to God. What if he doesn't get on his knee and propose? Or what if I don't get through that illness? You pass all those what ifs to God. And you say, God, you take care of it. I'm going to trust you, God. And when you learn to let God take control, guess what? There's an inner peace. Oh, the mind is settled. And there's rest for your soul, and anxiety drops. And that's a blessing. That's why Jesus said these words in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. In other words, those who are tired, those who are anxious, and I'll give you rest. And the rest is the rest for your soul. If you are anxious, God invites you to place your trust in him. Because when you place your trust in God, guess what? Your anxiety drops. I know of many Christians who, when I look at their life, I go, oh my goodness, and I thought that my life is hectic, and I thought that it's crazy in my world, and I look at their lives, I'm going, how do you do this? And I often find that they're praying Christians. They're Christians who are always spending time with God, in the presence of God, and they're trusting in God, and God settles their inner being. And they say, whatever happens, happens. What if this? I pass it to God. And God settles them. And I believe that's a blessing. If we trust in God, he settles our anxiety. Secondly, there's clarity with decision making. Like when you learn to trust in God, you're opening to allow God to guide you with decision making. If you are like me, yeah, I'm very quick to make decisions. Like I like to hustle. You know, and the danger, if you're like me, is that you don't include God into the decision-making process. Like you go and do things, and what you're really saying is that, God, I want to take control. God, I know what's best. You don't. So, you know, you end up doing a lot of things without inviting God. But when you learn to trust God, you notice that before you make any decision, you tend to say, God, what's your will? God, I want to seek you, God. God, I want to hear from you, God. I want to create a bit of space from now to the point I make the decision for you to be God. And you tell me. And you wait for the voice of God. And you wait for God to send someone in your path. And you wait for God to answer your prayer. And when you are like that, you begin to open up your mind for the possibility of God guiding you. You see, when you trust in God, you might think, this is the way I ought to live my life. But then God says, no, it's this direction. And so you open the possibility for God to guide you. So that is you. Learn to trust God. You'll be blessed. Because here's the thing. God's will, God's ways are always better than ours. Amen? Isaiah 55 says this, for you, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here right now, be foolish to not let God guide you. Be foolish to not let God direct your path. And how do you do that? You learn to trust God. You learn to create the moments where you say, God, before I even make the decision, I want to ask you, God. Don't go and buy that house because it's cheap. Don't go and start golf because everyone's playing golf. Don't do it. Don't do that. Ask God. And if you ask God about golf, he would say, go. And the pastor would say, do it. Lastly, here's the last one. Here's a blessing. There's a maturity in Christ. That's a blessing. See, maturing in Christ is being more like Jesus and less like the self. So when we trust in God, it's not a sign of weakness or not a sign of immaturity, but a sign of being faithful towards God. You see, trusting in God is faithfulness. And the more you trust in God, the more you are faithful towards God. And the more you are faithful towards God, the more you become like Jesus. You grow. in Christian maturity. You see, Christian maturity is like a muscle. It doesn't grow overnight. It takes time, and you have to work on it constantly. Christian maturity is learning to trust God more tomorrow than you did today. That means that every day you're trusting God. And the more you trust God, the more you grow to be like Jesus. And you grow as a Christian. That's a blessing. The blessing that you are more like Christ, the blessing that you make better decisions, and the blessing that anxiety reduces. And so I conclude by saying, where are you today, friends? Are you putting all your blessings in the things of this world? Are you putting all the blessings on the good things that comes your way? Or are you placing your blessing in the presence of God? That you're saying, yes, I am going to choose to run after God. And I am going to dwell in His presence and enjoy Him every day because I get to enjoy Him every day. And yes, I'm going to learn to draw strength from Him. And yes, I'm going to learn to trust Him more. Because if you do those things, not what I'm saying, but what the Word of God is saying, you are blessed. And so with all eyes closed, let me give us a time to respond to the teaching of God's Word. Where are you today, friends? I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you actually know Jesus or not. Or you love Jesus, but you haven't really spent that time with Him. And maybe through the teaching of God's Word this day, God has reminded you that, yeah, it's time to really slow down and just enjoy His presence. So with all eyes closed, I want to pray for anyone here this day that you're saying, yeah, Pastor, I need to spend more time with the Lord. I do. Yeah, my life right now is not really blessed, so I want to have that blessed life. I really want to enjoy Him more. I want to learn to trust Him more, and I want to learn to draw from His strength. If that is you, can you raise your hands? Because it will be my joy and my honor just to pray for you. Yes, thank you. Praise God. Yeah. It's so good. Anyone else? You can raise your hand and just put your hand down. God, it's so good, God, that there are people who want to respond to Your Word today. God, I'm so grateful that Your Word is very clear, that a blessed life is not based on, you know, materials or accumulation or accomplishment, but rather the fact that we get to enjoy Your presence regularly. And for those who have struggled enjoying Your presence, can you just remind them that You really like them a lot, that You really want them to be in Your presence, that they get to enjoy Your presence every day. And so, Lord, would You allow them to have the discipline to create time to just enjoy Your presence, to talk to You, to walk and just pray with You. And God, I also pray, God, that as they spend that time with You, they feel such blessing that they get to enjoy time with their Creator, their Maker, their God. So Lord Jesus, would You just help anyone who's struggling to really make an effort this year to enjoy Your presence even more. And for those who really have gone off and do things with their own strength or their own ability, and they're finding it hard to trust You and draw strength from You, would You just work in their hearts? That whatever is before them, God, that they learn to just pass it to You and say, God, You take care of this. I trust that You look after me, God. I place these things into Your hands, God. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who this morning says, yeah, they want to ask You to help them in certain areas. They want to invite You to give them strength. They want to place their trust in You, God. So, Lord, would You do that work in this situation? And so, Lord, bless us all, God. Thank You that we are blessed because we have You. Thank You that we are blessed because we get to trust You and draw strength from You. Continue to look after this church, God, in this season as we continue to worship You and follow You, God. I pray that You will help us, oh God. And we look forward, Lord, and to when we gather again, whether it's during the week in our small groups or next Sunday when we gather here. Lord, may every time we gather You, just like the psalmist, Lord, just the thought of being in Your presence will make us want to lose our control, God, that we would faint because we are so excited, Lord, to be in Your presence. So, Lord, would You help us, Lord? Bless us, God. Thank us. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.